You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Are you listening? Damn.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Damn Podcast. Happy New Year. We are starting 2024 off here, middle of January, and wow, we have a busy, busy show for you all since it's been about a month since Jake and I were on. Jake, how are you? Happy New Year.
I'm doing pretty good, Angie. We're ready for school to get started. I haven't had class in 7 days now, so I've just been doing a whole lot of nothing and feel very unproductive, so ready to get back at it.
You've been killing it with Beaver Blitz, so I appreciate you. I just got back. I avoided this snow and ice for the most part. On a quick little vacay down to Mexico. So that's why we put this off for a couple days. But Jake, glad you are okay. You had a little fall in the ice, but you look no worse for the wear, buddy. So we are ready to go. But we have so much to talk about today. So just a quick rundown of the show. We are going to highlight the coaching hires. I mean, this is an entirely new coaching staff led by head coach Trent Bray. And we spoke about that last December, on our last podcast, but more spots have been filled up and that coaching staff is nearly complete. Yep. We're also going to talk transfer portal. That is the bulk of recruiting has happened in that transfer portal. We're going to talk about the comings and the goings. Oregon State has lost 12 players to the portal, has gained 15, but Jake has the entire rundown of who and what they bring. So that is going to be a big time dive into that. We'll also talk a little bit about the commits that haven't signed yet, although, like I said, the majority of the show is going to be about portal guys. Talk a little bit about needs. Jump into the Scholly tracker, because right now we're showing Oregon State at 91 scholarships. They'll need to whittle that down by 6 before fall camp starts in August. But really kind of lay out, it gives us a better picture of kind of where Oregon State is at and where they're looking to go. On that. And then we have a ton of mailbag questions. So if you have a question too, pop it in the comments if you're watching us live. But there is a lot to talk about, Jake. Are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
I know you've been following this a ton. Recruiting has been crazy over the past couple weeks. Let's talk about coaching hires first, though. So, Trent Bray was hired that first week of December or the second week of December. Beaver Blitz has been pretty much on top of what we have got or what has transpired. So offensive coordinator, Ryan Gunderson comes back. Defensive coordinator, it is official. Keith Hayward is back as the defensive coordinator, both former Oregon State players. What are your thoughts just about that core three, Jake?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a top three that's really better at recruiting. And I think you're already kind of seeing that with how Oregon State's done in the transfer portal, reeling in these big-time players. I'm really excited about Keith Hayward. Great coach, great recruiter. Coach Gundy, I'm really intrigued to see what kind of offense he runs, whether he sticks to what they were running at San Jose State when when he was more directly involved, or if you see some of the Chip Kelly influence sprinkled in there. I'm very intrigued. We're sitting down with him in a couple of days. We'll get that. And then Trent Bray, I think, is the right man for the job. He has shown the ability to coach great defenses and lead defenses, and I think there's no reason why that can't translate to a team level.
Yeah, what I'm seeing from those three is just complete excitement. I mean, these guys are tireless workers. It has been nonstop for them. And then, excuse me, you add out, let's round off the offensive staff is completely rounded out. O-line coach Kyle DeVan, another former Beaver player who played under Mike Kavanaugh. So a great lineage there. Also has a Super Bowl ring that he wears on recruiting trips and shows off. John Boyer sticks around. He was an assistant with the quarterbacks. Quality control. There you go. I knew he wasn't a GA. He was working with the quarterbacks. He now steps into a full-time assistant coaching position with the tight ends. Kafensa Hinson remains on staff as the wide receiver coach. And the Beavs brought in Thomas Ford Jr. from Idaho as the running back coach. Another really exciting recruiting prospect with him.
Yeah, I love Thomas Ford. I think Thomas Ford is the best position coach hired that Oregon State made. He's someone who you've already seen the running back guys and the Seattle guys that Oregon State's brought in. They're very talented. He's a very connected guy. And this Oregon State running back room in 2024 is going to be loaded. So he's a very exciting one. I think he has a bright future for sure. And getting him at Oregon State was huge. And then Kafensa and John Boyer, the players love them. Every player I've talked to raves about them, especially Coach Hence. It'll be interesting to see how different the passing game is, because I feel like the receivers are physically a lot different than they have been under Jonathan Smith. And then Kyle DeVan, been a lot of places. He's coached a lot of pretty good players. Very excited to see what he does at Corvallis.
Yeah, it's a group, interesting group, and I'm excited to see offensively what this group does. And like you said, we will be setting up a time to sit down with Coach Gundy and Coach Hayward. It was supposed to be this week, but with the ice, it looks like it's going to get bumped out to next week. Plus, like, the coaches are all on the recruiting trail right now. So Thomas Ford is another one that, you know, when you sit down, when I ask Brandon Huffman about him with 24/7, national recruiting analyst, has met a ton of coaches. He told me slam dunk. Great recruiter, great guy, great coach. So it's a huge endorsement from someone who has been around a lot of coaches. Defensively, I don't think we'll see too much difference from what Trent Bray was running when he was the DC. Eliza Tuiaki comes back after being a linebacker coach with Kalani Sitake. He is back now. He just spent 1 year in Corvallis with Sitake before moving to BYU. He is the D-line coach. AJ Cooper comes in. He was actually a grad assistant at Oregon State, worked with Trent Bray and the linebackers. So Trent's very familiar with what he does, loves him. He came from Sacramento State, young up-and-coming coach.
Great recruiter. And then
great recruiter as well. Yeah, he's taken over that Vegas territory.
Doing a good job.
Yeah, already making waves. There is a 2025 prospect coming into town this weekend as well, linebacker. So definitely someone
from
to watch.
Vegas. Yeah.
From Las Vegas, yeah. So this is a AJ Cooper guy. And then DBs, you have Anthony Perkins remaining on staff, which is great for the continuity of that group. Potentially, we will see Jamie Christian return as special teams coordinator. There's also been some discussion. So right now, Oregon State is sitting with one open coaching spot as far as an assistant coach. There's been talk in the lodge about Inoki Brechtefield coming back. Now, that move could happen because you could move Eliza Tuiaki to linebackers and have an outside linebacker and an inside linebacker group move Inoki Brechtefield, who was not retained at Washington and did not go with Coach DeBoer down to Alabama. So I have not heard anything. This is more, I think, just speculation in the lodge. It could happen, but right now, my thought is that Jamie Christian would return to Corvallis. He spent time here as a GA and Dennis Erickson's nephew. So another great coaching lineage goes way back with Trent Bray.
He also coached at Arizona State with Trent as well. So there's another connection there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a long time connection. So I would not be shocked to see that happen. Again, this isn't a for sure thing yet, but it's somebody that I'm watching because I've heard some rumblings. Overall, defensively, what do you think of this coaching staff?
Again, it's kind of a theme throughout this, the offensive staff as well. Recruiting is going to be fantastic. I think between Keith Hayward, Eliza Tuiaki, and AJ Cooper, you have three of the best recruiters on the West Coast. Very energetic guys that kids really want to play for. And then Coach Perkins as well has shown a great ability to recruit kids and develop as well. I thought Oregon State's cornerbacks have been the best in a while over the last two or three seasons. So very promising staff. Again, this is still Trent Bray's defense. You're still going to be seeing the three, like a 2-4-5 type look. Very excited to see how this coaching staff does in spring ball and how much different the Oregon State defense actually does look.
Yeah, it's an interesting group. And we're already seeing the dividends. And when we dive into the portal arrivals, you know, you look at someone like Tuiaki has ties to Utah, mm-hmm. You know, Oregon State pulled Tavita Pome from Oregon, played at, you know, high school that he had connections to. Another, you know, the staff is also being rounded out outside that coaching staff.
Yeah, J.R. Moala.
J.R. Moala is coming back to Oregon State from Oregon, where he was director of recruiting. He will have the same role at Oregon State. Where he will be, it's the role that was held by Mike Doctor prior to him leaving for Michigan State. So another really good, connections. And Moala, you know, I get asked this several times. J.R. Moala is the younger brother to the late Tavita Moala, Beaver great, and Eric Moala, who played also at Oregon State. And Eric's son, Josiah, just actually decided to walk on at Oregon State. Dream come true for him as he transfers in from Louisiana Monroe. So, lots of connections. The staff is already being built on connections. But let's talk about departures first. I don't like to dwell on the negative, but there's something that really strikes me about this list, Jake.
Yeah.
So when we go down the list, 12 players enter the portal. Two of those actually enter early before the coaching change, and Jake Overman and Josh McCormick, kicker. Josh McCormick has yet to land anywhere. Jake Overman had landed at Pitt. But you look at this list. So DJ Uiagalelei, Florida State. Aiden Childs, Michigan State. Jermaud McCoy, Tennessee. Easton Mascarenhas and Akili Arnold, USC. Jack Velling, Michigan State. Atticus Sappington, Oregon. Sione Lolohea, Florida State. Silas Bolden, Texas. Tanner Miller, Michigan State. These are guys that came in as like three-star athletes mm-hmm. that were built up, developed, and now they've all signed at pretty major programs. What is your thought about those leaving Oregon State?
I mean, I think it speaks to the job Oregon State does at developing talent. If you look at all those schools taking away Michigan State are debatable for blue blood programs. You know, you got Tennessee, FSU, SC, and they're coming and taking players from Oregon State. Which, I mean, it is happening everywhere, but the transfer portal, in a way, I feel like is going to negatively impact Oregon State more than it positively does. Just through the bigger schools with more money, more financial backing, there's a chance that this could be the new norm where every year Oregon State gets their best player swiped. And I think that speaks to the testament of someone like Damian, who stays through all of this when you know schools are offering him a lot of money. Just a lot of talent is gone, but hopefully Trent Bray and Co. can kind of turn it around and really prevent the poaching from being happened in the future.
Yeah. And that's, we could probably spend 2 hours or more talking about the portal, what's going on, the amount of money in NIL right now.
It's pretty crazy.
If I could tell you some of the money that's being thrown around out there, it's crazy. And how it's not, I was on with Mike Parker last week on his radio show, and we talked a little bit about this. And the scary and the not so good part of, and I'm all, you know, players earning money, playing, and their name, image, and likeness. what has gotten a little off the rails is the fact that there's no salary cap like there is in the NFL. Agents don't have to go through any kind of vetting process. So what we're seeing is a lot of handlers. And if you're not watching us live, I'm saying handlers in air quotes. These are pseudo agents or family friends or just people. I worry about players getting taken advantage of because they're looking for money. At any regard, like I said, this could be a discussion for a way another day. But if you notice, so there's been so much chaos in college football the past. I mean, gosh, you had Kalen DeBoer head to Alabama. You have now
straight to Washington.
And then you have Brennan down to Arizona. There's just this kind of circle of coaches, which is what's happening now is then the portal. These guys are all following coaches and they're going in the portal.
I mean, the 5-star freshman kid, Caleb Downs, had a freshman All-American season, probably the best freshman in college football this year. Saban leaves and he's gone. It's very crazy.
It is crazy. And then you have the blue blood whining now and crying that, oh, this isn't right. Something needs to change. They weren't whining and crying when they are destroying Oregon State and Washington State.
Exactly. I mean, if you see some of the stuff that the people on the Alabama 24/7 their boards are saying, it is pretty crazy because there's a whole lot of moaning and complaining. But if you look at their roster and their impact players over past years, you know, guys like Jahmyr Gibbs, Georgia Tech transfer, all these guys are being developed at these smaller schools, and then they're getting a payday to play on a bigger stage before another big payday once they get drafted. And in my mind, I don't want to get like too off the rails with this, but in my mind, it is destroying college football. I think it's played a part in why Oregon State has been quote unquote left behind. And it's really sad to see, and there does need to be regulations installed, whether it's a salary cap per team or players can't be paid more than a certain amount of money. Cause right now it's just really uncontrollable and a detriment to the sport.
Well, and in some ways, like for some Oregon State players that have entered the portal, I look at this, you know, they are getting their payday because they are borderline making an NFL roster as it is. So if they can go out and make, you know, $300,000, $400,000 at a different school,
it sets them up well.
It sets them up, right? It helps them maybe get a, you know, put a down payment on a house and kind of set up. But it's like I said, that is a topic for another day and another. But I did think we needed to address a little bit because it's kind of all over the place right now. But 12 outgoing guys. I know there's been some, you know, back and forth, some Beaver Blitz about, you know, wish them well. They've been great to cover during their times at Oregon State. I wish some of them would have stuck around, but they've got to do what's best for them. And, you know, I think now looking at the guys coming in, I think there should be a lot of excitement around what Oregon State has done in looking to replace those guys. Mm-hmm. So like I said, 12 departures in the portal, but 15 now coming in. Pretty split, you know, 7 offensive, 8 defensive players. Let's just start with offense because and we've had a couple really big names just the past 2 days. Leading it off with Darius Clemens, wide receiver from Michigan, just finished, got his national championship, jumped in the portal, and was in Corvallis this past weekend. What can you tell me about Darius Clemens, originally from Portland, coming home to play college football?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, growing up in Plains, Heaven on 7, I'm familiar with Clemens, and he is a physical specimen. I mean, this kid is unreal. He's 6'3", probably about 215, and he's one of the fastest players I've ever seen. I remember we had a camp in Eugene or somewhere my senior year when Darius was a junior, and he comes out and runs a laser-timed 4.440 as a 17-year-old kid, and right then it was kind of like, okay, like this kid is legit. And I think it speaks to something if you're playing for a national champion, playing for a coach like Jim Harbaugh, who really wants his receivers to be physical. So that tells me Clemens is a good blocker. Hasn't really seen a whole ton of balls thrown his way down there or up there. But I certainly think he will get a chance to catch a lot of passes over his next 2 years in Corvallis.
Yeah, big time get, you know, and I know Beaver fans, whether you watch us on the pod or you're on Beaver Blitz or both, that's been one of the topics is a bigger wide receiver. So right now you're trading Silas Bolden for Darius Clemens. What are your thoughts on that trade?
I mean, for me, the potential for Darius is higher than what Silas is. I think Silas is a great football player, but there are physical, he's 5'8".
Yeah.
Limitations. He's not the fastest guy out, he's not the biggest guy out there. He is the fastest guy out there.
He is the fastest.
To me, what Darius could bring, if Coach Gundy and Coach Finch can really break in and tap that potential, he could be, an Isaiah Hodgins type player, or just really a big bodied impact receiver that can go up and get the football, which is an area that Oregon State struggled with.
Yeah. I mean, you look at this year, and Oregon State was, their top receivers were
Josiah was their tallest starter at 5'11".
Yeah. And then you had Anthony Gould and Silas Golden, both at what, about 5'6", 5'7"?
A generous 5'7". Yeah. And, my three early starters obviously haven't seen anything, but, between Darius, Jimmy Valson, and then a guy like Jeremiah Noga or David Wells or Trent Walker, all those guys are 6'2". Yeah. 6'2 or taller. So I do like the transition from the bigger or the smaller guys to the bigger guys, and I think it's going to help Oregon State out more than it hurts them.
And then you also have a player like Zach Card.
Yeah. The Silas and the Gould, the speed, the deep ball.
Exactly. I like where Oregon State's going here. It's been something we've talked about for years, quite frankly. Yeah,
Since Isaiah Hodgins left, really.
Yeah. And Isaiah Hodgins was a rare find, really. I mean, Oregon State has kind of made their living on smaller, faster receivers.
Yeah, I mean, look at James Rogers, Cook, Strotter.
Yeah. Like I said, they've done so well with that, but you do need some bigger guys from time to time to, Okay, so we're going to stick with the offense, and a familiar name coming back from Ole Miss. I wish he'd bring Juice Kiffin with him, but Jam Griffin is coming back to the running back room for his final season of college football. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think about that one?
I love it. I thought, Jam, he never really wanted to leave Corvallis, kind of had some personal issues or needed to leave, came back, and seeing him back is really fantastic. I thought there were moments last year where if Oregon State had Jam Griffin in a certain situation, it could have changed the game. If you look at Washington, Arizona, Jam always played his biggest games against the biggest teams, and hopefully we can see that again in 2024. Really excited. And man, this running back room is stacked between him.
It's funny because you hear people say when Jam announced he was coming back to Oregon State, people were worried Isaiah Newell would leave. But no, this group is so close, all of them.
Jam, Dame, Isaiah, Gavin Haynes, all those guys are really, really close and tight. And they're ecstatic that Jam is back. I can tell you that firsthand. So really excited about that one.
I'm going to skip over the quarterbacks. We're going to talk about those last, but a couple of linemen joining the fray, Gerard Christian Lichtenhan, O-lineman from Colorado, and Van Wells, a center from Colorado. Probably their two best, well, not even probably. They were their two best O-linemen at Colorado last year. Van Wells is already in the system or already in school. I haven't been able to find Lichtenhan yet, so I'm not sure if he's on campus yet, but give me your thoughts on them. What the biggest thing that stands out to me is just their size. I mean, Lichtenhan's 6'10".
6'10". He's 6'10", 315. That's a big boy.
That is a big boy.
Really, the thing that stands out to me is experience. Both of these guys have spent multiple seasons as starters. They've started over 20 games, which is going to be big for an offensive line that loses a lot. Van Wells is a fantastic center. He was one of the highest graded pass blockers in the Pac-12. I think he'll probably be the day one starter from center. And then Gerard Christian Lichtenhan, pretty sure they called him Tank at Colorado because he is built like one. 6'2", 6'10", 315. Had issues at times last year, but was really good at times as well. Had a streaky 2023, but there is familiarity with Kyle DeVan from both of those guys. And Kyle DeVan wouldn't go after them if he didn't know what they're capable of, and he wouldn't go after them if they wouldn't positively impact his team. So excited to see what they he'll do when spring ball starts up. And I wouldn't be shocked if both of them ended up being starters.
So Anthony Hankerson is a running back from Colorado. We should have lumped him with Jam Griffin. What does he bring to the running back room?
He brings kind of what Jam does, you know, a smaller guy. He's 5'9", 195, but he's quick. And he's probably the best pass catcher out of the four guys that will see the bulk of the action. Quick, decisive runner. I haven't watched a whole lot of film on him yet just because I've been busy with school and stuff. But planning on doing a deeper dive pretty soon.
And then the position I think that everybody's been watching, especially with Aiden Childs and DJ Uiagalelei transferring out, was quarterback.
Yeah,
they went out, Oregon State went out and grabbed two quarterbacks, Javonte McCoy, you know, All-American candidate at Idaho, and then Jabari Johnson, a freshman, redshirt freshman from Missouri. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, McCoy gives you that guy that has, you know, instant kind of plug and play, has tons of experience. And then Johnson was a former four-star when he signed and originally out of Tacoma. Give me a little rundown. Their names are good. We're going to have to go McCoy and Johnson because Javonte and Jabari are really going to be a tight line.
You know, so Johnson, Jabari Johnson, his high school tape reminds me of Kyler Murray. He is very accurate, and he's a great runner as well, which is something Oregon State really hasn't had since Seth Collins, which was almost a decade ago. I guess it was a decade ago now.
I can't
believe in that one. Oh, yeah. Man, I'm feel old. But I'm, you know, he is a guy that Thomas Ford had a great connection with, the Ford Sports Performance Heaven on 17 up there in Seattle. Hasn't played at the college level, took a red shirt this year, but he was a four-star recruit for a reason. He is a little bit of a smaller guy. I think he's 5'11", which is a quarterback, could be concerning, but I think that Jabari will be able to overcome that with his athletic ability. And then Javonte McCoy, definitely the more proven option. Started 2 years, I believe, up at Idaho. He had a very good freshman year, or very good redshirt freshman year, and in my opinion, he's the front runner. He's not as mobile as Jabari Johnson, but he can still throw the ball, but he can still run the ball if needed. Probably a better passer as well. Most likely going to be the starter. If I had to guess at the moment, I would lean towards Javonte McCoy. I have a friend that plays there, and he raved about him, said he was a great quarterback, great athlete, great team captain guy. So instant leader in the quarterback room.
Yeah, which is great. And I saw the same thing when I watched his film. He has a better arm than he can run, but yet he's not a Jake Luton, Sean Mannion statue either. So yeah. He'll be able to move. So out of those guys, the guys that are currently enrolled in school that we've found in the school directory, Jam Griffin is in school. Both Johnson and McCoy are there, Hankerson and Wells. So Darius Clemens should be there any day because he just committed. And then, like I said, we'll check on Lichtenham. Maybe I'm just looking him up wrong too, which user error could totally be a problem. Instead of jumping to a break, we're going to just keep going because there's so much good stuff to talk about. We're going to jump to defense, where there's 8 transfers coming in. Again, led by someone that just committed yesterday, was on campus this past weekend, DJ Westlock. That's right. He actually tweeted how to say it. Westlock. Edge rusher out of Missouri. What do you like about him?
You know, this is a kid that had 50 scholarship offers coming out of school. He is legit. He's a bit undersized for an outside linebacker. He's only 6'3", but if his high school tape is any indication, Oregon State just got a stud. The kid was a high school All-American for a reason. He's going to be an impact player. I would imagine he will probably be Oregon State's starting rush backer, you know, taking over the Chatfield spot. Really excited to see what Trent Bray can get out of him. Didn't play a whole lot at Missouri, but I mean, that's a top 10 team. Really excited about this one.
This is one too, that in just our dealings with these young men, talk about a guy that, I mean, always got back to us. Very respectful. Very respectful. I'm excited. You can always tell these ones, you know, that especially with transfers, they're not quite as eager to talk to media. They've done it. They've been there. They've had the stories written about them. Really impressed with the little bit that I've dealt with Westlock. A big one, you know, if you followed Oregon recruiting at all, Tavita Pome, D lineman, transferring in from Oregon. What are your thoughts on Tavita?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be an instant impact guy. Oregon State loses a lot on their defensive line between, you know, James Rawls, Hodgins, Golden. And it's a relatively inexperienced group. And Tavita's a talented guy. He committed to Oregon for a reason. He's a good football player. And I'm really excited to see what he'll bring. You know, I haven't really seen him play a whole lot. He's played one game at Oregon as a freshman, but he has four seasons left, and I could definitely see him being a starter in 2024.
Again, big bodies is what we're seeing on the defensive side as well.
318. He's a big boy.
So a lot of big bodies. We'll stick with that D line as we look at Taiji Hill from LSU, another just big body, and then Ami Longi, a D lineman from Houston. Those three D linemen are going to add instant size to that up front.
Yeah, you know, those three guys, they haven't really played a whole ton of football, but they are big. And with the Trent Braid defense, he needs big defensive tackles that can kind of plug the gaps and allow guys like Isaiah Chisholm or Melvin Jordan to shoot the gap. And I think those additions are going to be some of the most impactful that Oregon State has, just due to the relative youth in that room right now. I mean, you got guys like Quincy Wright, Smisi Haluni that have been in the program, but they hadn't really played a whole ton. So plenty of competition, excited to see how the defensive line looks personnel wise come spring camp.
Yeah. It's like I said, again, just size. I think when I sit back and look at, especially offensive and defensive line, the Beavers have just upgraded a ton just size-wise. I mean, they're going for big bodies. We'll stick with, edge and a second edge rusher signed last month, Nick Norris, edge rusher from Northern Colorado. What do you see? What do you like in him?
Yeah, I mean, Oregon State's found a gem there before. That's where Joe Golden came from, and he had a pretty successful two seasons. Excited about this one. He's very long, 6'5", 265. I think between him, Takari Hickel, and DJ Westlock, you've got three guys, playing the Chatfield, McCartan, Olohea, where you'll see those two guys rotate a lot. Definitely an instant impact player, which is kind of a common theme through this transfer portal class.
Yeah, and then they also went very heavy with the DBs. Mm-hmm. A couple big-time gets. Mason White, cornerback out of TCU. If you followed recruiting and you followed us last year, Mason White was down to Oregon State and TCU last year, opted to go with the Horned Frogs, and now is back in the portal and signed with Oregon State. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, didn't really play a whole ton, but I trust Coach Perkins' development. He's a great kid, super nice and respectful. Excited about this one.
And then two more. One that I'm super excited for is Kobe Singleton.
Yeah, in my mind, that was the biggest get of them all. In my mind, I feel like he is a great cornerback. He's a Sunday player. He has a future in the NFL. Has 9 career interceptions. Between Kobe Singleton and Jaden Robinson, I think there's an argument to be made that Oregon State's cornerback play may be better than it was in 2023, which is saying something because it was really a decent group. But huge get. Keith Hayward got the job done on that one. This kid is going to be a day one starter and really excited about him.
Yeah, so kind of a backstory on him. He was from Central Washington, played his prep. Keith Hayward had recruited him then. He actually tore his ACL, had a knee injury his senior season. Didn't get heavily recruited after that. Ended up at Utah State and then transferred to Liberty. So Liberty played Oregon this year in the Fiesta Bowl, had a great season. Coach Hayward was deciding between going pro in the NFL or playing another year. And Coach Hayward talked to him and
bought
his beef. So, and then the other one, Cy I'm going to Fadrale.
I think it's Fadrale.
Fadrale.
Got to figure that one out here.
Yeah, I got to work on that one. So he's a cornerback out of Cal. A lot of time there with him. I think he was a – was he a true freshman this year?
Yeah, true freshman. Has four seasons left. Played in a few games, I think. Had a fumble recovery. Unless I'm imagining that. Pretty sure he had one.
Yeah, and we're going to dive into the Scully Tracker in a little bit too. But, yeah, just a really solid group. Needs. What are you thinking just instantly? I mean, like I said, we're already at 91 scholarships, so they are over a little bit. Personally, I think offensively you need another maybe O-line and a tight end. And then defensively, I'd like to see him get a safety. But I think they're about done.
Those were the exact two for mine. You know, safety in particular kind of comes to mind just because between Skylar Thomas and Alton Julian, they've both dealt with torn ACLs. Don't know if they'll necessarily be the same player they were before they got hurt. Tyrese Ivey is moving to safety as well, but he is also a guy who got injured. Don't know how healthy he will be for spring ball. Jack Conner is there, but I would like to see them add a veteran guy to come in and kind of provide a steady tone.
And probably the biggest news of it all is that Jane Robinson is returning for his medical hardship season. So that is huge. We are going to take
the secondary could be really good.
The secondary could be really, really good. And what I saw in the bowl game, which we never did do a pod after the bowl, but what I saw from the two middle linebackers, the young middle linebackers in Chisholm and Jordan. And Melvin Jordan,
Those two
grew up like on the spot.
My one question about this defense is the interior defensive line. That's that and the second safety spot. But if Oregon State can get those figured out, then I love this defense.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break just for the podcast side. And we'll be back, though, to break down the roster and then take all the questions because there's a lot of them. If you're not a member of Beaver Blitz, now is a perfect time to join with signing day just around the corner. It is a great time to jump in the lodge and get all the latest information and not have to wait for the damn podcast. Read all of what Jake has been putting out, looking back historically. We have baseball season coming up as well with JP's weekly walk-off. So a lot to look forward to. Again, join at beaverblitz.com. We will be celebrating our 22nd year at covering Oregon State. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, we are back for the second half of this midwinter update podcast. I want to take a deep dive here, but before I do, we have a comment here. A visitor that we know is coming to town is 2025 linebacker Jeremiah Iwane. Hang on, I grabbed the wrong one. Where did it go? It was just there. Anyway. Jeremiah Iwane, 2025 linebacker, coming in from North Las Vegas this weekend. Definitely a player to watch. Oh, here, wait. I just scrolled up too hard. Here it is.
There we go.
News TV show. Class of 2025, Jeremiah Iwane is going to be a stud at Oregon State. He's a linebacker out of Vegas. Yes. Like I said, that he very well could be Oregon State's first 2025 commit under Coach Bray. We'll be watching that closely. But let's talk roster breakdown.
Let's do it.
So just looking at this, and I don't know if I can share it. I don't think I can share it. And it wouldn't help anyway. Anyway, we have 18 seniors, 24 juniors, 22 sophomores, and 27 freshmen or redshirt freshmen. Pretty balanced class. Usually your seniors are the kind of the least as guys move on. Currently sitting at 91 scholarships, and they need to whittle that down by 6 for fall camp. And we should see some additional attrition after spring camp as guys kind of decide they're, you know, moving on. What are your thoughts just looking at the Scully roster right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very young team, I feel like. There's a lot of younger guys who are going to have to step up and play bigger roles. If you look, there's not a senior quarterback, not a senior running back, not a senior receiver. Very young, especially on offense.
Let's see if I can share it. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Can you see that? Probably not.
Really. Kind of. But yeah, I mean, outside of the secondary and offensive line, this is a very inexperienced team, very young, which also it gives positives towards the future. I mean, if Oregon State can continue their development and if these talented young players stick around, then the future is very bright.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. So quarterback room, you're looking at 5 quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I'll help read them off to you. Junior, there's no senior quarterback. You have Gulbranson and McCoy, juniors, Throckmorton, sophomore, and then Johnson and Gutridge will be coming in the fall. I could see some attrition there.
Yeah, I could see one person leaving. You know,
but typically 4 to 5
is
where you want it. But
shocked to see Throckmorton potentially or Ben going to medical school. That's kind of been there's been rumblings about that. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, so that's definitely on the horizon. Looking at the running back room, you're looking at Jam Griffin as a senior. He's going to be a one and done. That junior class, Martinez, Newell, and Hankerson. And then true freshmen coming in the fall with Hatcher and Alla. So six guys in that group. I like it. I think that's a super solid group.
I mean, if you look at it last year, Oregon State only had 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty crazy.
It was super thin last year. Wide receiver, again, no seniors in this group. I look at that junior class. Clemens comes in, Jimmy Valson, who I think is poised to have a really big year. Really starting to break out. Pope and Noga. Kind of, what are your thoughts on that junior class?
Yeah, talented. Haven't really seen a whole lot of production because there's been guys like Trayshawn Harrison, Tajon Lindsey, Silas Gould in front of them. But this is their breakout year. You know, these guys that have waited their turn. You know, someone that's not on there Trent Walker as well, another guy who's played football but could also have a breakout season in 2024. Overall, I kind of like having no seniors just because it's going to get these guys instant time, and they're tired of waiting. They're ready to go. 2024 is their year.
Lots of freshmen in that group, though.
Yeah.
With Hatton and Reddix, which were two – we never saw much of those. I know they battled some injury.
Yeah.
But you had Zach Carr, David Wells, and then a couple of trues who have not signed yet with Malachi Durant and Eddie Fruoff.
And then Jordan Anderson as well.
Jordan Anderson is actually in the Poly Bowl right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, over in Hawaii.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of freshmen that are talented. You know, a guy that Coach Fentz really likes is David Wells. He's a 6'1 redshirt freshman from Washington. He had a good fall camp. You know, Zach Card kind of came in as an early enrollee in spring camp, and he just dominated. Where Wells was kind of a steady presence, and he saw action. You know, he played in two or three games, caught a couple of balls. Bright future for sure. And then I love Malachi Durant. He's my favorite prep in the class. I love his film. He's 6'2", 160. Love that get.
And now he has not signed yet, but is expected in February. And then also has a really strong relationship with Jabari Johnson.
Yes. And Thomas Ford as well.
And Thomas Ford.
Was very key in that one.
Now, if there's one area in this entire roster that's thin, it's tight end. Yep. Where you have senior Jermaine Terry, Gabe Milbourne, and then freshman Cooper Jensen. Three tight ends. Now, do you think this is a matter of just not finding the right transfer to come in? Or do you think that we see maybe a shift away with some of these bigger bodied wide receivers, maybe a shift away from the tight end?
Yeah, I think you are going to see a lot less two tight end sets, more of a three wide or even a four wide look. A guy that's not on there, Bryce Caulfield, another walk on. He'll be the impact player, might be the backup tight end to Jermaine Terry. But with this group, there's not a whole lot of guys who have caught passes. I mean, Terry caught a handful last year. Caulfield caught two or three. So these guys are going to have to step up.
Yeah, Terry needs to work on his blocking too. What I saw in the bowl game, so that kind of eye opening. There was a couple really big missed blocks. Offensive line. Now talk about a group they've done a really good job of getting these guys kind of spread out and not having big lumps. So right now, seniors, you have Joshua Gray, Gonzalez, Marco Brewer, Grant Stark, and then Christian Lichtenhan. Josh Gray has not announced whether he's coming back or not.
Same with Marco Brewer.
Marco Brewer would have to be a medical hardship, I believe.
Yes.
Because he had an ACL. So if he's coming back, that will be a medical hardship. Josh Gray still does have a year. So if Josh Gray comes back, I do expect him to move interior because that's where he'll project in the next level. So kind of just move over into a guard position. But then you have a lot of untested guys and a lot of openings, but there's a lot of opportunity with so many guys moving on. So Tyler Moreno, you have White, Wells is going to be center. I would pencil him in at center.
Yeah.
Luka Vincic, Dylan
Lopez. Very excited about Vincic and Strand.
Vincic and Lopez.
And Stark's back too.
Yeah. Stark's back too. So there's a lot of guys that I think.
Yeah. A starting five offensive line to me of, you know, Jacob Strand, Tank Lichtenhan, Josh Gray, Grant Stark, and Finn Wells. That's a pretty experienced group. I mean,
it is.
Three of those guys are seniors. Well, Wells has already started for 2 years at Colorado. Strand's played in a few games. And then I like the young depth between Vincic, Lopez, Jacob Anderson. Really exciting group. Excited to see what Kyle Devan does with them.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of eyes on that group this spring. Yeah. But if they can meld and kind of come together, it could be a really big Rip City in the comments. I agree. If Brewer and Gray come back, it would be huge. It would be very huge. So
Josh in particular.
Yeah, Josh in particular. You know, he's been playing. He played most of the season on a broken foot.
Yeah.
So that's in its own self pretty remarkable what he did.
If Josh Gray comes back too, I think he would have a chance to set the all-time starts record at Oregon State.
You're right.
He's a fifth-year starter.
It's pretty crazy.
Five seasons starter is unreal.
As an alignment. So that's
a lot of wear and tear.
Okay, defensive line. You wanna break down the D line? It's pretty underclassmen heavy.
Yeah, here, let me pull up.
Do you want me to read them off? So
no, I got
Misi Saluni, senior, is a lone senior.
Quincy Wright, another one.
Quincy Wright is, we have him as a sophomore.
Yes. Sophomore.
So anyway, so juniors, you have Langy and Norris, two of the transfers. And then you got a whole slew of sophomores with Jacob Schuster, Quincy Wright, Takari Hickel, Taiji Hill, and Tavita Pome. So like I said, I'm looking at that list and looking at all those newcomers.
Yeah, a lot of new faces.
And then freshmen, you know, you have Thomas Collins.
Love Thomas Collins. Big fan of his name.
Howard and Johnson. So, it's that. Just walk me through that group because I know you love Takari Hickel.
Yes, Takari Hickel is my guy. He lived in the backfield during spring camp and fall camp. He's probably the player I'm most excited to see in a starting role because he kind of reminded me of like a Hamilcar Rashid almost, just because he was a great pass rusher, always in the backfield. And this was against guys like Tali Fuaga, who's he's going to be a top 15 draft pick. Yeah. I know there were some questions about his run defense, but another offseason can only help. So it's really excited about that one. But there's a lot of new faces. I think this room probably looks the most different. I mean, Oregon State lost their top four guys with Rawls, Sione, Golden, Hodgins. It's going to look a lot different. And none of these guys have really played a whole lot. So I'm pretty excited for spring camp. This is going to be the group I'm going to be paying the closest attention to.
Okay, I do. I think like the O line. I mean, it's going to be a whole new look.
Yeah.
For both sides of the line. So
a lot of new faces.
Anybody in particular? I mean, besides Takari, that you're really anxious to see?
Thomas Collins. He had a great spring camp and fall camp. I've always been pretty high on Thomas Collins, excited to see what he can potentially do. And then I'm excited to see Taiji Hill as well. You know, those SEC defensive linemen are usually built pretty differently. So
yeah, exactly.
Excited to see
what he does. Okay. Linebacker. To me, linebacker is interesting because there's a lot of guys that are really familiar names that we either haven't seen. I actually think we're going to see the young guys.
I do too. Up.
Yeah. You know, Micaiah Tung, I'm anxious to see how his recovery goes. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, Ryan Frankie's kind of had an up and down career. Yeah. Haven't seen a lot of him.
Yeah.
So those are the seniors. Miller, inside linebacker. Tufaga, we haven't seen Tufaga at all. I always say his name wrong. Omada Show.
Aloisi Omotosu.
Olu. I just call him Olu.
Olu.
And then a couple new guys with Sullivan and Goodman coming in there. Yep. But I really think when you look at this young group, so those are, you know, your juniors and seniors at linebacker. I'm really excited about, you know, Malachi Donaldson, Melvin Jordan, Westlock, Chisholm. There's just a lot of guys though that I'm excited to see what they can do.
Chisholm is one of my – He's up there with the players I'm most excited to see next year. I mean, the kid is huge. I remember the first day of hall camp, just watching him jog past. I'm thinking, there's no way that kid is 18 years old. He was massive.
His first day, seriously, we did a double take. Like,
he looked like a
find him.
He looked like a third year starter type guy. He's very built. And then Jordan, he had a great end of the year. I think these two are really going to be key next year. And all Trent Bray does is really produce really good linebackers. And honestly, I think this duo has the shot to be up there with the best. I mean, they're very talented And they're young too. They've got plenty of time. Need to keep those two in Corvallis.
Yeah. MMD. He's another one to watch. Do you think these guys pass? Do you think they pass Miller by?
What?
Do you think those younger guys have passed John Miller by?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the bowl game was evidence enough. You know, John was healthy in that game. I'm fairly confident that you can pencil in Chisholm and Jordan as the two inside linebacker starters.
Okay. No, it's going to be fun to watch. And like I said, then you do have some other guys there too. Especially Goodman and Sullivan are going to be two new guys.
Yeah.
In faces.
A guy I'm keeping an eye on is Cord Shaw, you know?
Yeah. Another one.
He was hurt in fall camp and missed all of last year, but he was getting some run at running back as well. There were people saying he might take over the Jack Coletta role, but he looked like a pretty solid linebacker. I mean, he was always there filling gaps. He's a pretty athletic kid as well. So excited to see a fully healthy Cord Shaw in 2024.
And then moving down to defensive back, there's a lot of guys here too. Yeah. So, you know, we've already talked about Kobe Singleton and
J-Rob.
So that, I mean, right there, that's your two starting corners in my mind.
Yeah.
Tyrese Ivey will be coming back from injury. Yep. Alton Julian, anxious to see where he's at coming back from a couple injuries there. Now.
Yeah,
and then, you know, there's Skylar Thomas, Noble Thomas. There's a lot of Thomases on this group. We're going to have to keep an eye. But Andre Piper Jordan had some pretty good play this past season. So, you know, I think all the young talk was on Jermaud McCoy, but I think toward the
Jordan
end of
the
year,
came on towards the
Jordan
end of the
came
season.
On. Yeah.
If you watch the Washington game at the end of the game, it was Jermaud and Jordan in there at corner. Excited about him. And then a guy I'm really excited about, probably won't play a whole lot next year, Extus Ayers, true freshman. Very excited about him. Super, super great kid. He's already on campus, enrolled, will be participating in spring ball. And again, he's a long corner. He's 6'1", 6'2", long arms, kind of the Rajon Wright type build. Super excited about him. I think he could be a good one.
Yeah. There's a couple guys, true freshmen on campus already. Jordan Anderson and Exodus Ayers are the two. So those are the two freshmen that will be on campus. But great look. I think that's a good deep dive for going into the winter here. Like I said, 91 scholarships right now. It's just a matter then of how that get with. But you know, I there will be guys. There will be guys that want more playing time or don't feel like they're getting it at spring. So it always happens, no matter what. There will be some attrition. So stay tuned there. I do think we're pretty getting close to the full mark as far as 2024 goes, and transfer portal. Unless, like I said, a safety comes through. But if you follow what Oregon State Recruiting is doing right now and who they're visiting, they're already starting 2025. So they're kind of getting that start. They maybe missed a spot kind of coming together late, but they are getting kind of coming from behind now to try to make those relationships as they start the 2025 recruiting.
Yeah, I think
and 2026 as well, because we've seen them looking at local guys in Oregon.
Yeah, and 2027. I mean, they've already offered a 27 kid in Oregon, which is
crazy. Nuts to me. Nuts.
Great kid though.
It's great. So, okay, so we are going to jump into some damn questions. And time wise, okay, we're going to go a little long today because we only have 6 minutes left. So we're going to go long. So if you're listening to us, thank you so much. We have a lot of you guys on today live. So, but if you're listening on the pod, just know it's going to go a little long. So it'll be a little longer than an hour long. But I'll jump to most of our questions are in the lodge, but I did open it up to Twitter today or X. And this was a good one from Wade Hillam. Coach Hillam says, I have a love-hate relationship with the portal. There's a part of me that hates it for the kids who are already here, who are loyal and stayed and have put in the time for their chance to play. What about them? Should we expect coaches to show loyalty to the existing players?
I mean, that's a great point. I could imagine for some players who have been passed up, you know, I could imagine it'd be quite frustrating. I mean, you wait your turn behind players that are future NFL guys like Tali Fuaga or guys like that, and you end up getting passed up for someone who balled out at the group of five level, and that can be frustrating. I could imagine as a player it would not be a great feeling, but I think a lot of them kind of used as fuel and motivation. I mean, if you look at Oregon State this year, they brought in two talented transfer outside linebackers. And what did Andrew Chatfield do? He had the best year an Oregon State outside linebacker's had in 5 years. So I feel like competition can only fuel the fire. And I'm not a big fan of the portal for other reasons, but besides that, I mean, yeah.
And anywhere these guys go, there's going to be competition and trying to recruit guys that are better than them. So I see what you're saying about loyalty, and I get that, but at the same time, winning is fun. So if you're able to, and like you said, if you're getting beat out by someone that's new,
I mean, and yeah, like in my mind, I'm sure the backups on teams like this year in 2022 are having a lot more fun than say a starter on the 2017 team where it's 1-11.
You can't tell me Darius Clements didn't enjoy being a backup winning a national championship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, but that's the nature of the beast. No matter where you go,
you're going to be.
And some guys just develop differently. And so you, I look at like rankings, for example, going off on a little tangent here, but you look at rankings, and a lot of times those five-star guys on 24/7 are the guys that are physically developed and have the body to come in and play right now. They're bigger, faster, stronger than anybody else in their high school. Then you look ahead and then there's guys that they might've hit their peak when they were a senior in high school. Other guys are growing, developing, and may hit their peak later. So a lot can change a lot. And then just work ethic. I mean, it's all stuff that kind of goes into the whole recruiting picture. You're trying to find guys that fit your culture. You're finding guys that have a great work ethic. You're finding, and then guys change too over 4 or 5 years. So it's an interesting time, but, I think these guys are having fun at the end of the day. Okay, so tight as how many spots on the coaching staff still need to be filled? One coaching staff. And I say coaching staff because you can have 11 guys on the actual coaching staff that are out on the road recruiting.
Yeah, so there will still be some some GAs hired, some quality control guys hired, but the 10 assistants that like you'll see and you'll hear from,
they're one of them. Except for one. And whether, like I said, we're thinking that's going to be special teams and potentially Jamie Christian coming back. So that'll be a something to watch, but that one has not been kind of set in stone like we'd heard with all the other staff. We had a lot of questions on Blitz about what access for the media is going to look like. We have not heard. So here for the Beavers ask if we're anticipating any changes for the media. We don't know that. And then what is Bray doing differently than Smith? We don't know that yet. So we'll hear more when spring. We haven't even heard when they are going to do spring. Coach Smith had kind of done a couple things. Kind of did when he first came in, they went like had all April spring camp. Then he decided to kind of break it up. So they did a couple weeks in March before spring break and finals, came back and had another couple weeks. We'll see. We have not heard kind of what the availability will be. We went from Coach Riley years ago. Coach Riley was wide open for all practices. And then we went to Coach Anderson, who was really closed down. Coach Smith was pretty much like an Anderson. We got, a day or two a week during spring and usually every day, except for we got like 5 days a week during the fall.
The fall was good.
And then then right before season, when they actually start game prep, everything gets shut down. So we'll see what Coach Bray does. We will do our best to, whenever it's open, we'll be there. So you can count on that. It says Beaver Walk-On says it appears that we are chasing and getting as high or higher quality players under Bray than we were under Smith. How is this coaching staff able to accomplish this with the conference uncertainty that Oregon State is challenged with?
I mean, if you watch Trent Bray's press conference, I believe, Angie, I think it was you had asked his question, or you asked Trent his recruiting philosophy, and he said, we are going to be aggressive. And I think through the first month, that's what you've seen. You've seen them not shy away from guys that are getting, you know, other big time program scholarships. I mean, if you look at Kobe Singleton, he committed to Oregon State over multiple Big 12, Big 10 offers. I think he had an SEC offer or two as well. If you look at Darius Clemens, he had those big kind of offers. DJ Westlock, he had those kind of offers as well. And to me, that's Trent sticking to his guns. I mean, he's attacking it aggressively, and I think he surrounded himself with some great recruiters.
Oh, great. I mean, I don't think I've seen a staff this.
Yeah. I mean, they're young.
Built on recruiters.
A really young staff. I think, is Keith the oldest?
Keith Hayward's the oldest. Milwaukee. He's like, what, 40?
He's 48.
Yeah. No, he's not 48. I'm 48. So he's a couple years younger than
45,
me.
45.
Yeah.
46.
The other thing I think is important is the coaching staff is not chasing guys.
No.
They've had some guys on campus they thought they felt good with. To the point where even these kids have maybe said, yeah, I'm going to come here, but I'm going to take another trip. They take another trip and, then they call coaches up. Well, I'm kind of they're not going to wait around. They're going to say, yeah. Okay, you do what's best for
you.
We're moving on. Yeah, yeah, we're moving on. So it is a very confident group too. I mean, this is a group that feels that with the way the schedule sets up, they could be 11-1, 12-0.
Yeah,
and competing in that playoff system. So, and they firmly believe that. And I know there's going to be trolls that say that's funny and haha and no way, but that's what they believe.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, school's doable too. I mean,
yeah, no, it is. Yeah. I mean, you look at it, the toughest game is going to be. Yeah.
Besides Oregon, is it Purdue? Yeah, I think it's Washington State.
Washington State. I mean, Cal's, yeah.
Well, Cal's Cal. They're not. I don't really know what to think about Cal, but Purdue didn't have a great year. Wazoo.
I mean, it's Oregon and Wazoo.
I think Air Force could.
Boise.
UNLV even is a good team. But even then, I mean, all of those teams are losing guys and guys and guys. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
So, but yes, the staff is built. Like we were talking about earlier about the offensive and defensive line building with size. The staff is – I don't see a weak link on that recruiting staff yet.
No, so, not at all. I mean –
and that's something I have not been able to say from an Oregon State coaching staff in 18 years of covering the team.
Yeah.
Okay, Reese or Beav, he always has some good ones. Will you or fans have better access to practice? I doubt fans will be allowed in, but again, we have not heard do you see OSU having similar recruits visit in June as if OSU was a power 4 or 5 school? Absolutely.
I do. I think, I mean, Oregon State's still going to go after those 4-star kids. They're still going to go after talented players. Pretty excited to see what this staff can do with the full season to recruit instead of, a month.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this has been, it's cobbling together the best they can, but
yeah. I mean, I feel like going forward, you're going to see a whole lot more emphasis on high school guys. That was kind of what Trent was saying. He was like, I want to be a developer. He doesn't want to go and get guys out of the portal to be the instant plug-and-play guys. So expect a heavier high school presence in the class of 2025.
And then Reese, we have also, since I just got back from Mexico, favorite place in Mexico to vacation. He likes Cabo. Have you been to Mexico, Jake?
If you count walking across the border in El Paso, yes. But
okay, I was in PV and Puerto Vallarta. I actually love Puerto Vallarta. So we kind of a group of our friends from Oregon State days. We try to get together once a year and start the new year off with a little trip to Mexico. So super fun time. We ran into a couple of the Real Housewives of Orange County down there. For the old ladies, that was kind of fun to run into them. I actually thought Jake, your mom probably would have appreciated it. So. Beef Cat, wants to know more about offensive strategy. We will have that for you, I promise. Strength and conditioning coaches. So they are keeping Marco Candido, who was the assistant under Coach Mack. I don't expect any big changes there.
Right? Yeah. And then they announced the assistants this morning. It was Jordan Hicks, Peter Finley, and I don't remember who the other one was off the top of my head.
Dustin
Bathke. Dustin Bathke. And then Finley and Bathke are staying. They were here with Coach McDonald, and then Jordan Hicks is from Utah State.
Okay, great. Great to know, because I saw that announcement today. And I had, you know, I didn't know exactly who they were, but I do know Coach Candido. In fact, he's the only one in the strength room I've talked to. He's a great guy, great family, young kids. And so I love the continuity there, because nothing's going to really change as far as.
That's arguably the second most important position in a program.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I think it was a solid hire.
Yes. Yes. And then Beefcat also wants to know your assessment of the O-line, existing players and recruiting.
I mean, a lot of it to me comes down to Josh Gray, because if Josh Gray comes back, then you have one new starter or one player that hasn't started at Oregon State. And then if he doesn't, then you have two, where, you know, it might get a little trickier having two new starters on the same side. But if Josh does come back, that continuity again will be huge. And I mean, Josh Gray's he's one of the best offensive linemen in the country. Getting a fully healthy 2024 out of Josh Gray would be huge.
It crazy. Okay. Black Bandit would like to know what Oregon State is selling. What are the recruits being told about Oregon State? I think we've kind of talked about
it. I mean, that's a place where you can get to the college football playoff and play on the biggest stage, and they're going after the guys to make the run and get ready to do that.
And like I said, these coaches, I think they're also selling the fact that they've been here. And it was similar to what Smith said that, too, but you know,
that was what DJ Westlock was raving about, is like all of the coaches played there for the most part. They love Trent Bray. Just kind of building that great culture that Oregon State, we thought they had.
Well, it's interesting too, because like Westlock had visited ASU in Arizona, and all of a sudden, you know, Arizona loses their coaches, and he's like, I really love the loyalty at Oregon State. You know, these guys, they love the school, they love the program, and they have loyalty to it.
I mean, I think if a bigger job came up, then you'd see Kenny Dillingham get out of town pretty fast. I mean,
even though he's an ASU alum,
I think if an SEC job comes open,
if
he brings them to a season that's not 3-9, but
I was gonna say he doesn't have anybody knocking down his door yet. What should we? Beaver Jim would like to know, what should we expect for the February signing period?
Not a whole lot in terms of high school guys. Malachi Durant, Aiden Sullivan, and Eddie Froof, I believe they're all signing. Not expecting Martin Connington to sign. Believe he is headed to East Lansing with Jonathan Smith. They are pursuing a few guys. Jaden Tuiai, three-star offensive lineman from Utah. Kyle Devan had an in-home with him a couple days ago, so he could be a potential name to watch. But I'm not really expecting to see a whole ton of high school guys that aren't already committed.
Go Beavs 80 wants to know when the rest of the football schedule, dates and opponents will be released. I have not heard that yet. So hopefully soon. RxBeav 90 would like to know what happens during an official visit. There's the photo shoot, which seems to be the thing that we all see. The biggest thing though is really for the player and their family to meet the coaches and to meet the players. So, they'll have a host. So a current player will host. Sometimes several players will host the player, but they do a dinner or two out. They'll have lunch programs. They have a breakfast, you know, on Saturday morning if they're here on a weekend. It's just a lot of time. They'll sit down one-on-one with the coaches to kind of get an idea, watch some film, kind of how they fit. They usually get to go out if they choose to go out. With their hosts on one of the nights. So anything else that you can think of?
Just the going out, food. Oh, it's also paid for.
Yes. Everything's an official visit is paid for.
Which is
and the student that hosts them, the student athlete that hosts them also is paid a stipend as well.
Oh, are they really?
They get a little
I was not
like to take them out for food or do some things like that. So it's kind of a science too, because you want to match guys not only with maybe someone that plays their position, but someone that you kind of, if you've gotten to know them a little bit, that might meld with them. You don't want to put a guy that's a total partier with a guy that maybe is super conservative and doesn't want to go out. So there's a little bit of science. And this is where J.R. Mawala and J-Mo and J.T. Greno and Josh Patterson. And then Trevon Bradford and Kyrie Fisher are also in that room too. So those guys play a huge role in bringing these guys in and getting them, making them feel comfortable and having a good time. But they'll usually do a big catered dinner, you know, with Coach Bray and the coaching staff. And like I said, parents, family, brothers, sisters all come. So let's see. Okay, Mr. G. Gray, we've talked a lot about his son. But without naming names, what is the most shocking thing you've heard in the past 2 months? There's been so much.
Yeah.
So much.
A lot.
I think the biggest thing is just the amount of money that's being thrown at some of these kids.
Yeah.
And some of these programs, what they're spending.
The money and like the overall sliminess of players on Oregon State, certain star players being actively recruited during the season by SEC schools, Texas schools. Where the schools aren't even hiding it. They're just it is crazy. Needs to be some kind of regulation around it, because no reason during a season someone should be getting. I guess the coaches do it. So
yeah, I mean the coaches do, and that's that's just it. I think that just brings up a point. Maybe the most shocking thing that in the past couple months that I've seen is a head coach that has told their players to lock in until after the Civil War, but not doing the same.
Yeah.
And I did not expect that from that coach. I didn't expect that coach to leave kind of the way they did. And
the golden boy of Oregon State football.
So I think that shocked me, but like I said, I think the biggest thing has been just the money. And the crazy thing is, you know, that whole, football karma can kind of be a pitch, because now with
options opened up. Yeah. And what was a job that, you know, we had always heard Jonathan may be interested in was Washington.
Yeah. Again, no sour grapes, but that one shocked me just because of who I thought that coach was. Now, like I said, the amount of money and the amount of sliminess that's going on, and it's everywhere. And that's disappointing as well. And I guess if you go back a little further, I think the most shocking thing was just the whole Pac-12 dissolving.
Yeah.
Nothing surprises us anymore, does it, Jake?
No. Yeah, it's definitely been a crazy first season on the job, you know, with the whole Pac-12 dissolving, to a coaching search, to scrambling to figure out a recruiting class, to it's just been wild.
Yeah, Jake, it's almost your 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, next month or 2 months.
2 months, March started with camp. We don't have any information about when the spring game is yet.
TBD.
Anonymous here wants to know if you are excited about the 2024 football schedule.
Yeah, I think it could have been a lot worse. Obviously could have been better, but at the end of the day, Oregon State gets 7 chances to play in front of their crowd here. We get the Civil War, which, I mean, as a student, it's kind of fun. Excited about that. And overall, there's some fun trips. I mean, going to San Diego, going to Boise, it's going to be fun. So I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah, Air Force will be a fun one. Yeah, there's some fun games.
Yeah, there. Air Force. Is that one in Reese?
No, it's on the
road. It's in Colorado Springs. That's going to be a tough matchup.
So I think that one might be their AD at Air Force, this is going way back, is former Oregon Stater who worked with me when we were fundraisers, Nate Pine. So Nate Pine is the AD now at Air Force. He was the Medford fundraiser when I was the Portland fundraiser. Look at that. Just totally
small world.
Anonymous also had one here. I think he's trying to get us, but want to know what makes OSU and Washington State any more of a Power 5 team than, say, Boise State, Fresno State, or San Diego State, or any of the Mountain West teams, other than they play the Pac-12. Well, I went online to look at how much money athletic departments spent. Okay. Oregon State spent $87 million, and I think that was back in like 2021. $87 million. Washington State spent $83 million. The top Mountain West school in expenditures was Air Force, and they spent $67 million. So there's a big difference in, you know, if you're trying to say that Oregon State and Washington State aren't a Power Five team, well, the expenditures alone put them maybe in the lower tier from, you know, a Big Ten or an SEC school, but they are still in, you know, way above expenditures in their athletic department. I mean, you look at San Jose State was $39 million, Boise State $50 million, Fresno $46 million. So 67 for San Diego State and Air Force, that's still $20 million in expenditures more for Oregon State. So I think that might be trying to troll, but we're going to just throw some facts at you. So, and I think, let's see. Okay. So NOAA 72, how large do you expect the February class to be now that it's up to four commits? I think
we take away Connington.
So you take away three. Connington. And then I think we see some maybe walk on.
I think you're going to see a lot of local kids walk on. I feel like that's kind of been something the staff has done better maybe than the prior staff with, I mean, they had four in-state kids on scholarship between Guttridge, Froof, Dexter Haviland. Foster, and Haviland. Yeah. And whereas with Jonathan, you'd kind of see the in-state recruiting be pushed aside. I mean, outside of Jacob Strand, since I've been here, I can't think of any other scholarship kid from Oregon off the top of my head.
Yeah. So I do think, I mean, it's just pointing that direction too. When you watch where the coaches are going to visit right now, they are hitting the road for the 2025 and 2026. Yeah. So,
I mean, I haven't seen any 24 besides the Utah linemen get any.
And like I said, being that you're already at 91 to 92 scholarships, you're over.
Don't have a whole.
You don't have a lot. You're going to lose some to attrition. But you also maybe want to keep a few in your back pocket because you don't know who's going to become available in the spring transfer portal.
Yeah, which is where, if I had to guess, I'd say there's probably 10 to 15 guys on the roster right now that probably won't be. I'd probably say closer to 10, but
yeah.
I'd imagine around 10 guys that are listed on the roster.
Gets you back down to 80, 81. So then you still have a couple.
You can get a JUCO guy or two. In the years past, every year, Oregon State's out of the JUCO DB in the springtime with, you know, Tyrese or Massey was one. Skylar Thomas, even.
Skylar Thomas. Yeah, there's been several. So I do think we'll see. And then, like I said, you don't know who becomes available. You want to keep at least one, maybe two for a jelly donut. Let the coaches kind of watch practice. Let them see what they have. Figure out where they want to go from there. But great questions, everybody. And we ran over like a lot. So we better get out. It's been a great night, Jake. Thank you for joining me, even with the ice and snow and
no school.
No school. That's crazy. But we will be back. We'll probably do another pod right before signing day just to kind of recap everything.
And we're talking baseball with a very special guest, a very special guest.
Jake is working behind the scenes. Yeah. He's always working for you guys. Again, if you're not a member of Beaver Blitz, now is a great time to join. For nothing else, baseball's coming. And this is a team that could make an Omaha run, and you'll have JP's weekly walk-off. So make sure to sign up for Beaver Blitz, and we will be back. Gosh, give us 2 weeks, and we'll be back with another episode of the Dam Podcast.
Everyone is talking about If.
I'm going to go to limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt. Ta-da! And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
It's just so exciting.
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.